is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now, 1 week from today, the NFL Draft will have its first round. The Carolina Panthers have the number one overall pick, trading for it by getting it from the Chicago Bears. They had the ninth pick, but now they have the number one pick. Jake DeLone, former Panthers quarterback, former NFL quarterback, and now color analyst on the Panthers Radio Network, joins us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. How are you, Jake?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, before we talk some specifics here, let's get to when the Panthers were in the rumblings to trade for that number one pick. Was that something that they were signaling early? Did you get a sense that that was coming before it happened, or did it come as a surprise?
I thought there was going to be some movement where the Panthers would jump up. Whether or not they could get to one, that remained to be seen. Definitely, I think Mr. Tepper, the owner, has made it abundantly clear that a franchise quarterback is something that he wanted and wanted badly. And year after year, just things weren't kind of moving in that direction. And so with the ninth overall pick, and we did have some assets due to Christian McCaffrey being traded, so there were some draft picks there. And unfortunately, we had to throw DJ Moore into the trade to make it happen. But to get up to number one, it's a tall price. And Chicago, in their mind, not needing the quarterback, they were looking to accumulate picks and players, and they had the cap room to take on DJ. So I didn't know if we could get to one. I had a feeling we could jump in the top four, top three somewhere in there, but able to get to one. And Ryan Poles was looking to make a move, and he did not long after the combine.
With Bryce Young canceling pre-draft visits to Carolina, should we read into that? Somebody who knows this process better than most, should we read into that at all?
Well, I believe he visited Houston also. Is that correct? Am I correct in saying that? Okay, well, then I can see why he decided not to. So I'd be shocked if he's not taking one or two. I mean, very simple. I'm not privy to information inside of the building in Carolina. There's so many smoke screens that get thrown out, but it certainly is pointing. It seems like it's pointing toward Bryce and or CJ, but recently all the steam has picked up toward Bryce Young. And I can understand why the kid is not going to take any other visits. I would assume he feels pretty confident he'll go one or two. And you can't blame him. Yes, you want to. It's nice to visit and see other teams, but he's probably been on a road show ever since the season ended, in training and combine and visits and things of that nature. And now he just wants to kind of focus in and get ready for the draft and enjoy that process.
Whoever is taken by Carolina, what are they getting with head coach Frank Reich, who we know is a quarterback guy?
I think it's more so than just Frank, to be honest. I had a relationship with Frank prior to him even starting back in the NFL. We actually lived in the same neighborhood in Charlotte when I first moved. Yeah, and Frank is just a great guy, very well respected, beloved in the NFL circles before he became a coach. And Frank's just this calming influence, a guy who's a grinder as a worker, a calming influence. But he has surrounded himself with a fabulous staff. And just speaking offensively, to have Jim Caldwell as basically your right-hand man, so to speak. I mean, you have a proven winning NFL head coach with an offensive mind who's just sitting there. You know, and then Thomas Brown, the young up-and-comer, full of energy, great teacher of the game as your OC. And I'm a big believer in Josh McCown as a quarterback coach. Josh and I were teammates in Carolina. I truly believe in having a veteran presence, some type of quarterback in that room. I just think that's why Jared Goff is playing so well in Detroit. I think Mark Brunell being there, playing 18 to 19 years in the NFL, it's just different when you have somebody who's been there, done that. The same thing with Brian Greasy. No one brings up his name in San Francisco. He's never coached in the NFL in his life until last year, and I'd like to think the quarterbacks in San Fran, especially the last pick, performed pretty darn well. So I'm a big believer in that. So having all those guys on offense, that's a good, I guess you could say, security blanket, so to speak, and a good foundation for a young quarterback, whoever that may be.
Jake DeLome joining us here on SportsMap Radio. Having a front seat to what was going on last season, how would you describe everything that happened from a team that thought we got a quarterback in Baker Mayfield, to now we don't have any quarterback, to having Christian McCaffrey and then not having Christian McCaffrey. This sort of build, rebuild notion, how do you put in perspective what last year was? And because the division was helping out, there was still a playoff chance at the end.
Listen, I said it before the season last year. I thought the Panthers were starting to make a move, and I was hoping there would be some success with Baker at quarterback. I liked what we had in the offensive line, certainly loved Christian, loved DJ, liked some of the receivers we had, and I thought defensively we were improving, especially with some young talent. But, man, it just started off rough. I mean, it started off bad, and I think 1-5 or whatever it may be until after the San Francisco game and Matt Rhule was let go. So it was just it was rough, to be very honest. And I'm sitting there saying, I know this team is better than what it is. And Steve Wilks did a fantastic job of kind of retooling the offense. We changed some things. And, yes, there was musical chairs at quarterback due to injury. But this team really kind of hung its hat on running the football because the offensive line was not a bad offensive line, and it hurt to trade Christian. There's no doubt. Not only is he a great football player, but a great locker room and just great for the community and beloved, but we weren't going anywhere, and we could get some assets for him, and it was a win-win for both situations. I truly believe that, and that kind of, the team realized when he left, hey, we've got to step up. Our best player just walked out the door, and I think the team did that, and I think the division helped. There's no doubt. The division was down, so Carolina has some good young nucleus. I really like that we can build with on defense and offense. And, if you hit on the quarterback, that we all know in this league, it's a quarterback's league. And every rule and every change that's made every year is to benefit the offense. So if you hit on the quarterback, then we're going to look back on this trade of DJ Moore and all these picks and say, my gosh, we would have given up more. But can you hit on the quarterback? That remains to be seen.
How did Matt Rhule's coaching style go over? Was there too much collegiate angle to that, or is that overblown?
Well, listen, it was difficult for me. 2020, the COVID year, I didn't even call a game. We weren't allowed. So how do you come from college first time, in essence? Yes, he had a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Giants with Tom Coughlin, but, I mean, where's the continuity? How do you build? And then every year it's a new quarterback, and I just think it just never got off on the right foot, and it just never happened. And it was inconsistent quarterback play. There's no other way around it. You find any coach in this league without a quarterback or consistent quarterback play, they're going to struggle. And so, Matt, I think he tried tirelessly. He changed his staff after year two. He brought in more maybe NFL experienced guys, and I think it helped some, but just it was too far gone. And listen, Matt tried his tail off. I'll tell you that. He really and truly tried his tail off, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work at this time. And I think he'll do great at Nebraska. I really do. He's proven on the college level. I just think it just wasn't the right time in the NFL. But certainly that's not an excuse now in Carolina with the with the staff that was brought in on offense, but especially defense. It's a really good football staff that Mr. Tepper has allowed them to build, and hopefully you can hit the right draft picks, and we've signed some free agents, because the NFC South is there for the taking.
Yeah.
And Carolina has a good young nucleus, especially defensively. I like at a few different levels on the defense. I like some of the guys that we have that we can build with in the future.
Which free agent is standing out? Which free agent signing is standing out to you as something that you're kind of excited about for this upcoming season?
Honestly, I think two, and it's on both sides of the ball. I'm a huge Von Bell guy.
Yeah.
Love Von Bell. Was actually with a coach from Cincinnati fairly recently, and it was right after we signed him, and he was like, Jake, he said he's such a leader. He said he's there first in the morning. He's the last one. He rallies guys. He gets guys going. He teaches them how to be pros. And so that was a big sign for us. And I like the Adam Thielen sign. I really and truly do. It's kind of, I guess, 1A and 1B with Hayden Hurst. A tight end's a quarterback's best friend, especially if we're going to be starting a young one. But getting to Adam Thielen, who, listen, I still think he has some good years left. And we have a couple of emerging guys that can be okay. Terrace Marshall out of LSU showed flashes last year. and he looks the part. DJ Chark coming off of an injury. So we've got size, we've got length, we've got speed. But getting Thielen and Von Bell, I just think those two with a young football team can really and truly kind of help set the example to go forward.
Jake DeLome, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, giving an insight on the Panthers, who have the number one pick next week. Really appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You got it. Jake DeLome, again, former NFL quarterback, participated in Super Bowl 38, now on the color analyst for the Panthers radio network. They have the number one pick on Thursday night, getting it from the Bears. They're going quarterback. Which one? Not sure, but there's some free agent acquisitions. It was a tough season last year. It really was, with the firing of the coach and the quarterback problems and trading Christian McCaffrey. And again, still in a playoff picture at the late end of the season, but now a new coach.